name's Alex Webb. I'm here on the behalf of the Wellcome Trust. It's the 9th of September 2009. Could you please state your full name, your date of birth, and where you come from?
It's Carol Ann Standish Lee. My date of birth is 10/2/61, and I come from Derby.
So, where did you first hear about the project?
I logged on to the internet one weekend, and there it was on my Tiscali homepage, and I just thought, oh, that looks like a bit of a hoot. So I just thought, why not? I signed up for it, thinking I'd never hear, or it'd be something ridiculous like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I just never expected to hear anything. And then when I got the email, I very nearly actually killed the email, because I just thought, you know, you get like umpteen spam emails for Viagra and all kinds of interesting things. And I just thought, oh, just check it before I kill it. And then it was like, I just sort of sat there sort of a bit like a fish out of water, just flapping, thinking, oh my god. For about 5 minutes worth of like flat panic, you know. I just was totally taken aback, and then once I sort of thought about it, I sort of got quite excited, and I phoned my kids up and said, oh, you know, and they were all like hyper excited as well. So I just never you know, as I suppose it's a bit like winning the lottery, you never think it's going to happen to you. And it's just such an interesting thing to be part of. So, yeah, but look forward to it.
So what inspired you to take part?
Well, first of all, it was the why not? And then once we'd actually got the email, it was like, what am I going to do? I don't want to waste my hour. And being part of UNISON, the big thing there, the presidential campaign for this year is on domestic violence. And I thought, well, that's it then. That's what I'm going to do. It's quite a serious subject. You know, there's plenty of people up there sort of doing quite light and different things, and you know, there is a place for sort of delivering a serious message. So that's why I chose it.
Could you talk a little bit more about raising awareness for it? I mean, just maybe some of the things that...
Well, UNISON actually campaigned quite actively about domestic violence. They've been campaigning for a statutory definition, for help for victims of domestic violence. And you know, when you start looking at the statistics, it's quite horrendous. There's 104 women a year are killed by their partners or their ex-partners. The police have, they estimate 570,000 calls for domestic violence. That's one a minute. Every minute of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. That is scary. That's a huge proportion. And it's just one of those subjects that it's people don't want to look at it. It's, people don't want to get involved. They just, you know, if we're not looking at it, it's not happening. And yet there's people out there that actually need help. And it's not always as easy as you would think. A lot of them are trapped. And, you know, when your self-esteem has been eroded, you know, when you've been battered into submission, you know, it takes quite something to actually be able to break out of that cycle. So, you know, the awareness does need to be raised. You know, a lot of people just say, oh, you know, well, they could just leave. If they could just leave, they probably would. It's not that simple. And it's just a case of raising awareness. We're actually promoting the White Ribbon campaign tonight, which is, it started off in Canada. They're actually based in Hebden Bridge, and it's sort of getting men to say that they're never going to commit, condone, or stay silent on, you know, issues of violence against women. And it's a campaign that's promoting men speaking out about it. You know, it's okay, you know, women, they're just going, oh, they're all women, you know, they're all men haters or whatever. We're not. We just want people to be able to be safe in their own home. You know, there's more women get killed in their own homes than soldiers in Afghanistan who have gone out there to fight. That is a scary thought. And whilst not diminishing what our soldiers are doing in any way, that is a scary thought, that these people are actually being killed in their own homes by people who are supposed to love them. It's a very warped perception.
Could you talk a little bit about your line of work as well?
I work for Derbyshire Police in the telecoms department, and I'm the non-technical person. I always work on the principle that there's enough people that do the technical things, so I can just do the paperwork and pay the bills and do that kind of stuff. And when the rest of them can do what I do, then I may pick up something technical. I mean, there are technical sort of aspects to the job, but...
So computers aren't really your thing?
No. I like playing on my own computer and I love playing with gadgets, but I don't particularly want to fix them, I have to admit.
Yeah.
I'd rather just shout one of the boys and go, oh, can you fix this for me?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So could you tell us a little bit about your background and where you're from and, you know, just a little bit more about you, if that's good?
Well, I'm 48, so I've got three children who are 26, 23 and nearly 22. I've been married for 28 and a half years and I've never been a victim of domestic violence. I would like to make that quite clear because I'd hate people to be looking at my husband a little sideways glances. I worked for Derbyshire Police for 12 years. I'm the chair of the Unison branch in Derbyshire Police. I'm very active in the Regional Women's Committee. We have a tortoise who's 70. He's very grumpy. He's like the Victor Melder of the tortoise world. When we first had him, my daughter thought he got a chest infection because he kept going. And then we found out actually that he was just hissing. They don't make much of a noise, but they just hiss. When they're not happy.
You find out why he wasn't happy?
They just don't do people.
Okay.
They're not like cuddly and fluffy, you know, they just like to be left alone. As long as you feed them and, you know, just keep out of the way, they're happy. They're not sociable creatures. So, yeah, he's quite entertaining. The 19th of December last year, I met my father for the first time in 45 years because he went missing in action.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Him and my mother separated when I was two and he just disappeared into the ether and didn't want to be found.
Mm-hmm.
And he reappeared, he lives in South Africa, and decided maybe it was time to play families after 45 years.
It's such an odd time, because usually you hear about them coming, but you know, it's just, so how was that, how can you tell us? How you reacted?
My initial reaction was, go away. It was a string of expletives, actually. You know, I wasn't too impressed. And then I just thought, well, I have to find out who this person is because at least I'm not going to die wondering. So it was interesting.
And then if you want to talk about him as a character, I mean, what? If not, it's not a problem.
I now know where I get my sense of humour from, because yeah, my mum doesn't have much of one. But other than that, I just realised that really there's not a lot of him in me.
Yeah.
Because he lives in South Africa, really, you know, I had sort of nearly 12 months to get used to the idea of him coming over. And it was quite strange because I just didn't feel anything. You know, there was no sort of fond childhood memories to sort of portray or anything. It was really quite strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I realised that I am the person that I am because of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, most of us are a bit of a mum and a bit of a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably the person I am today because of my mother.
Yeah.
So it made me appreciate my mother a whole lot more.
Yeah. And have you carried on a relationship with him so far?
We sort of correspond via email, etc.
Okay.
Because he lives in South Africa. So, yeah, it's quite interesting.
That must have been quite an important part of it. I mean, you know, it was kind of time in your life to find that. But, I mean, like you said, you haven't got a kind of relationship with him, so it's hard to relate to him in a sense, maybe. But
it's, you can relate to him as a person or somebody
yeah.
you've met.
Mm-hmm.
But not as somebody that's that a closer relationship.
Sure.
It's almost like somebody that you met and you just email.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of via work or whatever. There's hundreds of people that you can correspond with,
mm-hmm.
but there's very few people that you actually share a basic common connection with.
Yeah.
And that connection just isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really odd.
Yeah.
So.
That's incredible, though.
Yeah.
After all that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what's most important in your life at the moment?
Most important things to me are my family.
Okay.
You know, everything else comes second.
Mm.
My family, and as long as my kids are happy, they're healthy, that is the most important thing to me. the stuff that I do with Unison is also very important to me. And it's, you know, there's lots of issues out there that we do need to raise awareness for. So many people go through their life and they just go to work, they come home. You know, I work with people that have never read a book. They never go to the cinema, and I just think, what are you doing with your life? You know, I think that you should carry on learning. You know, you know, it's not a case if you leave school and that's it. I think throughout life you need to carry on learning. You need to educate yourself. What are the issues out there? It's not just about you. And I always think, you know, I'd like my epitaph to just say, you know, if you die trying. You know, one of my brothers sort of said, what was his comment? Something about, oh, that's the difference between you and me. You live your life giving a damn. And he says, no, I give mine not, live my life not giving a shit.
And how does that make you feel?
I just said, well, it's very sad. You know, I think if something that you've done can help somebody else, then at least you made a difference. You know, years ago, I went off when my kids are small and got the opportunity to go off and do a degree. And then within 2 years, four or five other friends with small children went off and did a degree. And they did it because they saw that I did it. They saw that, oh, she's done it, I can do it. And I think that's nice that you can at least influence people and make them realise that they can make a difference. You know, if we all went through life not giving a damn about anybody else or not making any effort to make anything change, the world would be a sadder place. Somebody once said to me, if you just put up and shut up, life would be so much easier. And I said, well, it wouldn't be me and nothing would ever change. And if you want things to change, you actually do have to get out there and campaign and speak out and try and make a change. Nothing, you know, I don't believe anybody has a charmed life. But if an experience that you've had, good or bad, can actually help somebody else, then it's never wasted.
No, I totally agree.
No.
I mean, so you and your brother, you have different views on life, would you say? Saying a comment like that.
I think it's just a different take on life, isn't it? I just depend. I suppose it depends on your philosophy. You know, I'm a practicing Christian. I quite firmly believe in trying to make the world a better place. I don't believe in pushing my faith down people's throats at all. And generally, unless somebody asks me about it, I don't go out and try and convert everybody. But I do believe that, you know, we are supposed to try and make a difference. We are supposed to try and make the world a better place. That sounds a bit horribly trite, but it's true.
That's great. What's the main thing you'd say about yourself? You'd describe yourself?
Apart from being middle-aged and overweight.
Is that what you put in there?
No. I put something about committed. Because I do believe that if you commit to something, I don't think... you don't have to say that you're going to do something, but in my book, if you say you're going to do it, you do it to the best of your ability, and you don't let people down. So I definitely believe in commitment and loyal and loving. And I think if a few more people were a little less judgmental and a little more forgiving and open, you know, there might be a few happier people in the world.
Do you think standing on the plinth will have an impact on you?
Well, apart from the fact I don't like heights,
absolutely
terrified. Yes, I think it will. I mean, it's made me look at statistics that, you know, for domestic violence that, you know, you just thought, oh my goodness. And if just one person hears it or sees something and makes them sort of think, I don't have to go through this, or it makes somebody realise, oh crikey, you know, somebody I know is suffering, and it makes somebody else do something for the positive, then it's all worth it, isn't it? You know, there's just too many people, like I said, who just live in daily terror. And if just it causes one person to reach out and help them, or one person to realise, I need to get out of this, then it's all worth it.
And what were the reasons for you choosing to raise awareness for this specific?
Well, part of the, like I said, the Unison campaigning work is a big part is around domestic violence, and it is the presidential campaign this year. And I know the president of Unison, Gerry Gallagher, and I know it's because he worked in the communications room for his police force, and he, you know, used to take calls from victims of domestic violence, and I think that had quite a big impact on him. And so once I knew I got the plinth, I got in touch with him and said, what's your project? Okay, let's, you know, see what we can do about it. So he will be campaigning quite actively over the next 9 months or so on raising awareness, and his campaign is all about helping people move forward from domestic violence.
That's great.
And it would give me a few brownie points in the union.
Yeah, just a few.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to get a great audience, and I think online as well, you know, so many people tapping in. So.
Good. It would be nice to think it wasn't wasted.
And what about your hopes and fears about going out there?
I'm hoping to get through it. And I'm just terrified of heights. But you can't live your whole life afraid. Some American evangelist that I listened to called Joyce Meyer said, somebody she was talking about said, oh, well, I can't do this, I'm too frightened, I can't do this, I'm too frightened. And her friend turned around and said, well, just do it afraid. And I think actually sometimes you just have to do it afraid and think, I'm going to give it a go. So I'm just going to get up there, and I've got an hour. I'm going to try and make a difference. And time will tell whether that, you know, we've actually sort of made any difference. But as long as the people out there hear it, that's all I'm asking.
So you're gonna see kind of facts, statistics, and tell them information.
I've got facts and statistics, and there's also stories and poems from people that have survived domestic violence. And I'm just hoping that people will take the time to stop and listen.
Well, I hope you're on the plinth as well, and thank you for the interview.
A pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks.